Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is September 10th. We are talking about the hurricane, Hurricane Irma. What a lovely name. Malka heard part of this already on Shabbos, but no one else was there, right?
But I've told a lot.
I told a lot.
What? You were there, right?
Shabbos?
Yeah.
You were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
Chazir
is good.
Okay, so we're going to expand on it. Okay, so the what we said on Shabbos morning is that the Mishnah says that heavy ruts, a mitzvah kala, one should run to do an easy mitzvah. Vevi bareach mino avera, you should run away from an avera. So, what we talked about on Shabbos morning is that we know that when whatever dangers a person has to their physical bodies, all the more so, one has to protect or be worried about their ruchnias. As we know that in Parashas Ki Tsetse, we have that Ammon and Moab are never allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael because they hurt our ruchnias. It took us away from Olam Haba, whereas other nations like Mitzrayim or Edom, they are allowed to join, even though it's after a few generations, because they only hurt us physically, not spiritually. So if a person is supposed to be Boreach min Avera, run away from an Avera, so what does it mean to run away from an Avera? So that would be similar or even more so than running away from a physical danger. So we here have seen people running from a physical danger. People who came from South Florida to here, they were Boreach. They were running away from what? They were running away because they were afraid for their own physical danger, for their lives. We don't fault them. They're correct in running away. We would do the same thing if the roles, chas v'shalom, were reversed. But at the same time, we are seeing somebody being boreach, running. Boreach means to run away, to be afraid, to run. So if they're willing to run like that from something which affects their gashmias, their olam hazeh, so all the more so we need to run when there's something that affects our ruchnias. Now, let's just talk out a little bit what it means to run in the physical sense. They were running. What are they running away from? What are they enduring as they run? So everybody's heard stories and talked to people who've come from South Florida. So first of all, the decision whether to run or not, to assess, is it dangerous, is it not dangerous, it's a little bit of agonizing whether they should or shouldn't. When people finally decided to run, so they were risking a lot because they're leaving their homes behind. If you're in your house when a storm like this hits, so assuming a person survives, they can also take care of their belongings. If there's a leak in the roof, they could fix it. They could minimize damage. If there's no one in the house, something which might have been a minor damage could turn out to be a very, very major damage. Let's say a window breaks. I know they boarded up their windows, but let's say something happens that could have been a minor problem could turn into a much bigger problem because no one's minding the shop. So it is a little bit nerve-wracking to leave under these circumstances. They got in the car and they drove, but the problem is so did several hundred thousand other people do the same thing, in which case they were crawling on the highway. And as they came up to Atlanta, so first of all, the trip took hours and hours and hours and hours, much, much longer than it normally takes, at least double the amount of time it normally takes. 20 hours, more than that, took a very, very long time. People had children in the car. What do you do with kids in the car for 20 hours? There was no place to stop on the road, meaning that certainly there were no hotels. The hotels were all booked up. And not only that, if they got to a rest stop, which, again, between rest stops took hours, if they got to a rest stop, there were long lines for the bathroom. There was no place to park in the rest stops. People pulled over at rest stops because they wanted to just go to sleep for a few hours. Just park and put your head down and sleep for a few hours. There was no parking places. People got off the highway to you know, find a side street someplace and just take a nap. It took them 40 minutes just to get back on the highway because of the lines. So it was this trip was a terrible, terrible trip. So they endured that. They come to Atlanta. So it's true that Baruch Hashem, our community, did a very nice job, or is doing a very nice job, of housing them and feeding them and dealing with them. But the fact of the matter is, they're not home. It's not comfortable. I mean, we can make them as comfortable as we possibly can, but it isn't comfortable. They're not in their own homes. They're not in their own beds. The children are certainly out of sorts. Anybody who brought children with them, the children are getting up in the middle of the night, as you know, and it's not easy to do that. And then they don't know when to go back. What do they do now? And can they get back, even if they want to go back? The storm is between them and where they live. So even if the worst has passed in South Florida where they live, but they can't get back there because they can't go through the storm. So they got to wait till the storm goes through Atlanta. So it's a very, very difficult thing to do this. When we were just away for a few weeks, so there was no storm, and we were away for a few weeks. So Devar knows that we asked her to check up on our house, to come in every few days and look around. Because I'm nervous. I want to make sure the refrigerator is still operating, the freezer is still operating. I want to make sure there's no leaks in the house. I want to make sure there's no infestation of some wildlife that has decided to take up residence in our home while we're gone. Right? So I want someone poking their head in, looking around, just make sure everything looks like it's supposed to be. So that's when there's no storm. When there's a storm, like, who knows what's happening to your property? Who knows what's going on down there? So it's a very, very difficult thing. And the amount of money people spent to leave, there was no gas to be had. When you could have it, it was expensive. And anytime you travel, costs money. So people traveled, cost money. Some people did book hotels here in Atlanta, that cost money. Food, whatever you're going to do, it costs money. And wherever they're going to go, however they're going to travel, whatever they're going to do, traveling costs money. Lost wages. Anybody who left before the storm, so they had work. That means they took off of work to leave. Anybody who tried to beat the crowd and leave early, well, that they also lost wages. So all of this was done to protect themselves physically. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, would we or do we do the same thing to protect ourselves from a ruchnius standpoint? Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of us to be boreach min ha'avera, to run away from an avera. Now on Shabbos, since I was speaking primarily to men, so we discussed, we know that that averos can be divided up into three basic categories. You can divide it up into two categories if you want. You can say ben adam l'chaver, ben adam l'makom. That's one way of breaking up averos or mitzvos. Another way of breaking up is kina, taiva, and kavod. You can break it up that way. So when you're talking about being boreach min ha'avera, running from an avera, so which category of averos are more susceptible or lend themselves to being run from? And you can't run away from the avera of chves, of let's say the avera of not giving tzedakah. It's an avera not to give tzedakah. So can a person, it's hard to run from that avera. So there are certain types of averos that are more able to be, you can apply this concept of running from it. So it's hard to run from. It's hard to run from Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero, some of them you can run from, some you can't. But Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, it's hard to run from. You could run from kavod, meaning if you know a person, if you know that in a certain situation you're going to get a lot of kavod, you could run from it. You could also be tsanua and make sure that people don't know about the type of thing that they would give you kavod for. That would be a form of running from the kavod. Kina, jealousy. So there you can run from situations that you're afraid that you will be jealous. But usually jealousy hits you when you don't realize it. And usually it happens when you see something that makes you jealous. So or something happens that makes you jealous. At that point you have to struggle with kina. It's hard to run from it. But the type of avera which definitely one can run from is taiva. Taiva one can run from. That one can do. So with the men I spoke about internet use, but there are all types of taiva that a person has that a person can run from. And a person can protect themselves from having whatever taiva it is in the first place. So a person has a yetzer hara that is going to get them in trouble, so a person needs to run from that yetzer hara and protect themselves in advance of having the taiva. It's much more difficult to protect oneself after the taiva is already upon a person. Say, instead of using taiva, let's use kas, anger. So we know when we're angry, it's very, very difficult to control ourselves. It's very difficult to, once we are angry, it's difficult to do the right thing. At that point, we say things we're not supposed to say, we do things we're not supposed to do, we raise our voices, and we act in a manner that is not appropriate. Then we do that after we're already angry. So it goes on. But a person can run from situations that will get them angry. That is a person can do. A person can anticipate. A person knows certain situations that they tend to get angry about. As a particular sibling that just gets under my skin. Right? So a person knows that. So then a person has the ability to run from it, or at least to protect oneself in advance of getting angry. I don't know if it falls in the category of taiva, but I guess it does. We have a taiva to speak Lashon Hara, or to listen to Lashon Hara. So there certainly we can run from circumstances and situations that bring us to Lashon Hara, to Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, to speaking Lashon Hara, and Rechilus. So those are things that we certainly are, they are within our control, and there is an ability to be Boreach, to run from those circumstances. So it's important that a person identify those areas that they can run from, and run from them. And we say run, so running means creating an environment that is not the most comfortable environment. It's not what I would have preferred. I would have preferred to have more freedom. I would have preferred to be able to not be restricted. I don't want to feel like I can't go to this particular place, even though if I go there, I'm more susceptible to an avera. But I don't want to feel restricted. It's true, I don't want to feel restricted. But if you're willing to run from your home in order to stay away from physical danger, so one needs to run from a circumstance in which they anticipate a spiritual danger. So that's this idea of being boreach. So it is a Musar Haskel to see what they're running from, or why they're running, and how they're running, and what they're running entails, and to apply that to ourselves for running from a ruchnius danger. Okay, that is one limud, and we spoke about that on Shabbos. And before we take it to the next step, any questions on this? Okay. Now, whenever something like this happens, so it's everybody plays in a person's mind, why? Why is this happening? Everybody asks this question, Jewish, not Jewish, religious, non-religious, everybody asks the question. Just if a person is not religious, the answer is a scientific answer, it has to do with global warming, it has to do with whatever, right? You can blame it on whatever you want, but you can make up some reason why it's happening. But if you are a frum person, and you're a God-fearing person. So then, one always asks from a Torah perspective why it's happening. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring something like this, which causes tremendous amount of destruction, and causes a whole community to run, to be Boreach? Why would that happen? Now, we are not Nevi'im, so we cannot answer that question definitively, but we can give certain possibilities that we can do. Now, the first thing a person has to know is that the Gemara says, it's really a pasuk, in, I believe, in Sefanya, the Rashi brings. But the Gemara tells us, Rashi says it in Parshas Va'era, that Rashi asks the question, famous question, that if Hashem was hardening Paro's heart, so why did he bring the Makos on the Goyim if they were anyway not going to listen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, see if we can find it quickly. I'm too far already. I'm sorry. Pretty sure it's in Va'era. I hope it's in Va'era. Yes. In Va'era, in Perek Zion, Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, Vani akshe eslev paro. I will harden the heart of paro. V'her beisi esoso saivas mof saivarets mitzvayim. So I will make a lot of makos. So Rashi says, Me'achar shehir shia v'hitris kenegdi, because he did so much evil against me, and I know that the Umos, the Goyim, are not going to do tshuva. It's good for me that he would harden his heart, so I can do more nisim, more makos against him. And you, Yidden, will know my strength. V'chein midaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the midah of Hashem. Mevi puranus al umos, he brings calamity against the Goyim, kidei sheyishmu Yisrael v'yiro, so Jews will hear and be scared. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, in Sefanya, Paragimel Pasuk Vav, Shene'emar, hichrati Goyim, I cut off the nations. Nashamu pinosam, another word for destruction. Amarti, I said, Achtiri, that you should be afraid. Achtiri osi, you should fear me. Tikhi musr, you should take musr from this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Puranos. This is not a politically correct thing to say. And it's not, it doesn't sound, it's not something that is an easy thing to accept. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Puranios against other nations. Why? So we should get scared and take Musar. Now that doesn't mean that he brings Puranios against totally innocent people. He'll bring it against people who deserve it. However, we're talking, but he may make it worse or more public. Like over here, where he could have just destroyed Paro, but instead he wanted to bring more makos. He did it in a way that more makos could be brought. He wanted to bring more makos. He wanted Paro to harden his heart, because he wanted to slam them and smack them and smack them and smack them again. So we would sit there going, oh boy, oh boy, whoa. So we would get scared. And in fact, Rashi says in this past week's parsha, Parshas Kisavo, the pasuk says in the Tochacha, the pasuk says when it talks about the types of boils a person will get, it says, to find it, Yakecha Hashem, Hashem will strike you. Let me find it first. Yeah. Pasuk, it's Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Yakecha Hashem, Bishchin Mitzrayim. With the Shchin of Mitzrayim. Zot Rashi. Ra Haya Ma'od. It was very bad. Lach mi bachutz v'yavesh mi bifnim. It was moist on the outside and dry on the inside. But that's not the Rashi I wanted to tell you. Sorry. That's where he brings up Mitzrayim. But there's another. Hold on. Let's find the right Rashi that I want to tell you. Yeah. Sorry. Same Perek. Perek Chav Ches. Pasuk Samach. Ve'yishiv b'chol es kol madvei Mitzrayim. And Hashem will bring unto you all of the afflictions of Mitzrayim, asher yagarta mipneihem, that you were afraid of them. V'dav kubach, and they will cling to you. So Rashi says, asher yagarta mipneihem, that you were afraid of them, mipnei makos. Kishahayu Yisrael roim makos mishunos habos al Mitzrayim. When they saw these strange makos that came against the Mitzrayim, hayu yoreim mayhem, they were afraid of them, shlo yavo gam aleihem, that they wouldn't come also on them. When we saw those makos, we said to ourselves, this could happen to us too. Chas v'shalom. Teida, I'll prove it to you. Shekhen ksiv, because the pasuk says, im shamoat yeshma, if you listen to Hashem, kol ha-machala, shesatim Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha. All the afflictions I brought on Mitzrayim, I will not put on you. Ein miyarin es ha-adam, you don't scare a person, except in something that he's already afraid of. Right? It's not scary to tell a person something that doesn't scare them. You want to tell them something that they're afraid of. So Hashem brought extra makos on Mitzrayim in order to scare us. And we were afraid of them. And in the Tochacha, Hashem says, well, if you don't behave, I'm going to bring upon you those makos of Mitzrayim, which we knew about, and that scared us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Puranios on the Umas HaOlam in order to frighten us. So a person has to know that. So that's true if it happened a number of years ago, there was a tremendous flood or tidal wave or whatever it was in Bangladesh that killed, I believe it was 100,000 people. It was just a massive destruction over there. So likely there were no Jews there. So you say to yourself, okay, well, like what, right? That is to scare us. That's to say, look at the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what he does when people are not serving him. And we need to serve him because that can happen. That's what it does. So a storm like this happens and it absolutely decimates Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Cuba. And these places are just wiped out. And many people are killed. So that's meant to frighten us. To look at it and say, it could happen to us. That's meant to scare us. To understand that, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be rewarded. And he wants to help us. He wants to give us bracha. But at the end of the day, averus do cause destruction. And that can happen. It's meant to scare us. But here there's a difference. You see, when a tsunami hits Bangladesh, there was no threat to Jews. None. But that's still to scare us. Here, there was a threat to Jews. Now, It could be that the major frum communities were not damaged badly. The latest report we got from, Malka has an uncle and aunt that stayed in Boca Raton, and she has cousins who stayed in North Miami Beach. And both report that the worst of it is over, and that they were okay. That, you know, I don't even know if they lost power, but they, So that they got back. That doesn't. Now Miami Beach is different. That's they were not in flood zones. Neither of them were in flood zones. That's why they stayed. So that, you know, it was rough when it happened. And there probably is some damage. You know, there is some damage that happened, some minor damage that happened, but nothing major. So Baruch Hashem. But there could have been major damage from people's property, and it could have been much worse. It ended up going up the west coast of Florida. Had it gone up the east coast of Florida, that would have been much worse for the frum communities on the east coast of Florida, where primarily the frum communities on the east coast of Florida. On the west coast of Florida, there are very few frum communities, very few and far between. So let's not talk about loss of life, because people were responsible for that. A hurricane gives enough warning, so people got out, and also they also, besides getting out, they also, those who stayed, took precautions. So let's not talk about loss of life. Let's talk about loss of money, destruction, inconvenience. There's all kinds of problems that could happen. So there, Baruch Hashem, nothing actually happened, or nothing major happened, at least initial reports. I don't know what happened in Miami Beach. But let's hope. I can't say for sure. Let's assume no major damage took place. Let's say this whole storm goes through, nothing major happens. So what's the message with that? Now I'm not 100% sure we apply this over here, but I'll tell it to you anyway. And I think I've spoken about this in this forum before, but there are some new people here. In the number of years ago, this goes back probably close to 20 years ago. There was more than 20 years ago. There was an attack in the Beis Medrash of Neri Yisrael in Baltimore. There was an attack. Have we spoken about this? No? There was an attack. Somebody was attacked in the Beis Medrash. It happened at 11 o'clock in the morning. 11 o'clock in the morning is the time when a yeshiva Beis Medrash is the most full. It's right smack in the middle of First Seder. So it was a packed Beis Medrash. And if you've ever been around the Beis Medrash, it's very loud. So a man came into the Beis Medrash. He was holding a brown bag, paper bag. And he said, he asked for a rabbi. So the person he asked happened to be a Talmud of Rabbi Friend. So he pointed to Rabbi Friend. So the man went over to Rabbi Friend. Rabbi Friend was sitting behind a desk in the Beis Medrash. And the man came over and he put down his bag. Rabbi Friend went, Shalom Aleichem. And the man reached into his bag, took out a knife, and lunged at Rabbi Friend. Rabbi Friend jumped back, and he hit him in the arm.
Who hit who?
The killer hit Rabbi Friend. I was in the Beis Medrash, yeah. I was on the other side of the Beis Medrash, but I was in the Beis Medrash. He hit him in the arm. Rabbi Friend picked up a chair and threw it at him. And then a bacher, when he threw him at him, the man jumped, dropped his knife. A bacher ran over and punched him. The man punched the bacher back. And then another bacher came with a chair, held the chair up, with the legs forward, and came running over and pinned him against the wall with the chair, and then everybody pounced on him. So that was the end of that. And then they called the police, the ambulance came, they treated Rabbi Friend, he got hit right where you put on the tefillin, he got stabbed. They put on the tefillin. It wasn't dangerous. It wasn't a very bad wound, but he did get hurt. It was the only time I ever remember in the Beis Medrash that right in the middle, it all of a sudden got quiet because no one knew what was going on. Like, all of a sudden you heard screaming, yelling, and everybody got quiet. And then there was this commotion. I didn't see what happened. I just saw there was a commotion. And then everybody started learning again, and then we found out afterwards what had happened. But that's what happened. Now, the comical part of that is, if there is a comical part, is that I was in Rabbi Berkowitz's shiur at the time, this happened the first year that Eve and I were married.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was only 24 years ago. So that happened at 11 o'clock. So understandably, it was hard to get back into the learning at that point. Like, everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. But people sat down and started learning. At 12 o'clock, Rabbi Berkowitz gave shiur. We all went to the shiur. The shiur was about murder. It happened to be what we were learning at the time. Could not pay attention to a word of it. So anyway, that's what happened. That afternoon, at six o'clock, half an hour before the end of the Seder, the Rashiva of Weinberg's Zohar Racha got up and gave a shmooze. He didn't normally speak at that time, but in light of what happened, someone had to speak about it. So he got up and he said like this. He said, "You probably think that what happened over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera, that a man should come into the Beis Medrash and attempt to do a terrible thing, and nothing, you know, just that's what would happen, and that we'd all get scared about it." He said, "That is not the pshat." He said, "What happened over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera that a man would come into the Beis Medrash and commit murder. That's what was going to happen. But at the last minute, because of Zuchusim, the calamity was averted." Now, I can't tell you how the Rashiva knew that, but that's what he said. He said, "You should not look at this as HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera that there would be a near miss." He said, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera that there would be a murder, but there was Zuchusim that in the end saved the day." And then he proceeded to give us a shmooze about why he felt it happened. What he said is not relevant to this particular talk, but I'm sure you're curious. What he said is that he said this sort of thing, attempted murder or murder, it happens on the gas in the street. It doesn't happen in Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash, you don't have that. You know, the halacha is you're not allowed to bring a weapon into the Beis Medrash. It's halacha. It's halacha in the Gemara. That's why Pinchas, it says, Vayakam bitoch ha'edah. He got up from the Eda. The Eda means the Sanhedrin. Vayikach romach biyado, and he took a spear. But he first had to leave because you could not let have a spear. You can't have a weapon in the Beis Medrash. That's the halacha. It's halacha in the Gemara. So here the so he said this sort of thing, it happens in the gas, in the street. It doesn't happen in Beis Medrash. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the gas into the Beis Medrash. He said, that's because we are bringing the gas into the Beis Medrash. When people talk about things in a Beis Medrash that people talk about on the street, when people do things in a Beis Medrash that people do in the street, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the gas into the Beis Medrash. That was his shmuz. Let me tell you, we were rather shaking, you know, after that. I mean, it was a terrifying talk. But his point was that the gzeira was the worst, and at the last minute it was averted. Now, I am certainly not a Navi, but I'm not even the Rashiva's Hanracha, so I can't tell you if the same thing applies over here. However, there are parallels. The predictions were, and the models showed, that whole communities would be decimated. That's not talking about human life, but at least in terms of property. Decimated, wiped out, destroyed. Other communities were. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Cuba, other places were decimated, and maybe still will be. Could be that other places on the west coast of Florida will be. But the major from centers of South Florida, there were predictions that were reliable predictions, they'd be decimated. In the end, it didn't happen, or at least appears not to have happened. It appears that the storm veered further to the west. It didn't happen. So do we look at that as HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally decreed that it would just be a scary thing? It would get close and scare people off? That's all? Perhaps. In which case, if that's true, then the lesson is a lesson of fear. The lesson is a lesson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to scare us. That means he wanted to bring something that would scare the people living there into running away. And for us, the message perhaps is this idea of Boreach. We see people running away, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. But it's possible that really the Gzeira was to absolutely destroy those communities. And then, because of Zchusim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to change the Gzeira. That's also possible. Now, if that's the case, we of course cannot pass judgment on another community. You can't do that. You can't dan other communities, other people. That's their business. People who live there, it's their job to say, okay, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to us? But we're outsiders looking in. And then the question becomes, first of all, the Musr of it. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy Gaisha communities to give us Musr, to destroy a from community to give us Musr, that's even more terrifying. So that's one. But two would be, what's Chusim? What's Chusim would have saved it? Now, with that, of course, we can't answer. This Chusim could be a, who knows what kind of Chusim there are. It's not shaykh for us to make that judgment of what the Chusim are that would save a community. Who knows? Who knows what kind of Mesiras Nefesh they had? Who knows what kind of Torah was learned? Who knows what kind of Chesed was done? Who knows what kind of Tznius was kept that protected the community? We don't know. We can't know. But it is also Shaykh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the community of South Florida here in order to be marbez zchusim. We say on Rosh Hashanah, on Aseres Mitzvah, on Yom Kippur, Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu, B'Sefer Zechuyos. Write us in the Sefer of Zechuyos. It's not pashut to have zchusim, to have zechuyos. We need them. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the opportunity for zechuyos, so if we grab them, it can change the course of history. Who knows if or what, how the reaction of people here, how that contributed to the zechusim, the zechuyos that averted total destruction in South Florida. We don't know. Now, what are those zechuyos that would happen over here? That would be our attempts to help as much as we possibly can. So there were the mass help, what I would call the public help, the ones that got a lot of press, which would be the fact that the shul provided meals for everybody, and the fact that the shul provided lodging and helped people find places to stay and everything, for sure. That's the big thing. But we don't know on an individual level who did what. And the Mesiras Nefesh that people put in. You have people at your house? You have people at your house? You have people at your house? Yeah? You have people at your house? You have people at your house. So everybody has people at their houses. Who didn't, right? When you have people at your house, you don't know them. Maybe you did know them. You don't know how long they're going to stay. Someone had to move out of the room. Does anybody have to move out of your, I don't know. You had a guest room.
No, but my girlfriend, everyone moved out.
People moved out of rooms? We got it? No? I see you had an extra room there. We got rooms? Okay. It's inconvenient. People moving out of rooms, have to change rooms, right? It's not comfortable when people are around that are not your family, right? You know, just the level of tznius you have to keep in the house is not fun. It's not fun to do that. I know my daughters, I know my wife. It's not fun to do that. You have to be much more cognizant of what's around you, right? It's not, you can't relax the same way. It's not comfortable necessarily. And there could be awkward moments, and like, it's just not, you know, who knows the level of mysterious nefesh that each individual put in embracing the discomfort, the willingness of being nice about olim chaveroi, to say that, look what they're going through, the least we can do is to go through some discomfort to help out. And the amount of money that was spent, the help that was done, whatever was provided, all of that, who knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought those chusim, who knows what that may have done for Klal Yisrael, what it may have done for Sephardah. But really, 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 who knows what it did for us? See, that's the thing. The Gemara says, Yoiser mima she balabayis oise la'ani, ani oise la'balabayis. More than what the person giving tzedakah does for the poor person who's getting it, the poor person is doing for the person giving the tzedakah. When you give tzedakah to a poor person, the poor person is giving you more than you're giving him. Because you're giving him money, and he's giving you zchusin. He's giving you nitzchias. We don't look at it that way, but that's really what's happening. These people are poor people. It's not that they don't have any money, but when a person comes and they have no place to stay, they have no food, and they have little kids who need to go to sleep, they're poor. They don't have what they need. Momentarily, they're poor. And when you provide for them, they're doing more for you than you're doing for them. Because the schus is huge. And who knows, maybe the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the hurricane to South Florida had nothing to do with the South Floridians. Maybe he brought it on the South Florida Jews because we needed schusim. Because the city of Atlanta was in dire need of schusim. And as a chesed to us, he displaced 1 million people just so that we could have extra zchusim. That is a possibility. Again, we're not Nevi'im, we don't know, but the possibility exists that the main reason had nothing to do with South Florida, it had to do with us. Because we desperately needed zchusim. That's also a possibility. We don't know, but it is a possibility to be aware of that. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, all these things could happen, could be true. And it could be they're all true. It could be they needed a lesson, we needed schusim. It could be that it was supposed to be total destruction and then schusim saved it. It could be that no, the whole thing was supposed to be just a scare in the first place. But lamaisa, these are the limudim we have to take out of something like this. Yeah.
So what, like, so let's say we needed schusim. So what does that mean for us that we're not doing it? Having enough schusim on our own?
Well, it could be that we have to look for ways of having schusim other than, you know. So in other words, we have to look around and say to ourselves, why would we need schusim? Why are we deficient? Who knows? Are we not performing chesed in the proper way to our local people? Maybe that's something we have to look into. That, look how we reacted to these people from out of town. What about the local Nitzrachim? Are we caring for them properly? Maybe we're lacking in those chusim. That's a distinct possibility. Again, we're not Nevi'im. We're only guessing. But since we don't have Nevi'im, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to do is guess. We're never going to know for sure because we don't have Nevi'im, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows we don't have Nevi'im, and he brought it anyway for us to take out of it whatever we can. So we have to at least accept the possibility.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.